Brian Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
I'm better looking, I have better hair, I'm deceivingly smart, and I want everyone else to do what I say.
I want to thank Brian Noonan for going on.
Holy s***! Brian's back!
I'm Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Here until 1 o'clock, then Nick DiGiulio will take over. Oh, my goodness. It's getting harder and harder to listen to the White Sox games. Not because of the call, not because of Andy's postgame or when Carm's doing postgame. Just because of the results on the field. But we move on. The Sox, big losers tonight at Guaranteed Rate Field, losing to the Nationals 12-1. Oh, my goodness, that was horrifying. But, you know, what are you going to do? Well, here's the thing. I'm here, and we're going to have a great time tonight because we have a very talented musician coming in. Jahari Noel will be in at about 11:45. She's got a new EP that just dropped, as the kids like to say. I don't know if they still say that, but that's what I remember the kids saying when new albums would drop. So Jahari will be in here, and she will perform some of her music for us. It'll be a lot of fun. We're also going to talk about how much attention do you pay to parent companies, politics, etc. Big uproar this weekend with the Cubs holding a fundraiser at Wrigley Field, and we'll get into all of that. We are also going to share, finally, I get to say that we have a really heartwarming good news story, a story that will make you feel good as you move into the late night, early morning hours of your Tuesday. It's a lot of fun. We'll talk about some bad brides and a mom confronting bullies. A lot of things to get to. Always more fun when you are involved. 312-981-7200. That is the number when you do call in. You'll be talking to Roel Coleman, the executive producer of the big broadcast. If you're nice to her, you get to me. That's how it works. That number also magically is the text number. So if you don't want to talk, and you just want to text, sure, you can go ahead. You can use that number. We're not too worried about that. Social media, it's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter, so you can keep in touch with me there. There you go. I'm trying to adjust the body clock. You know, get things all moved around. This was late notice, and I am very happy to be here. But As we talk about this hour of the night, and we talk about people, some people getting ready to go to bed, some people maybe in bed, some people not. A new study came out today that has, some people getting a little antsy. Some people saying, "Oh, I figured this was the case." A new study came out that said, if you watch TV while you were in bed, there is a good chance, ladies, that you will gain weight. And there is a danger that you could actually become obese. That's right. It is not. It's sleeping with the TV. Now it is not. They say it's not official yet. They don't know for sure. But here's the deal. The study came out earlier today from the National Institutes of Health, and it says dozing off to late night TV or sleeping with other lights on may mix up your metabolism and lead to weight gain and even obesity. Proactive but preliminary research suggests. And now they targeted this at ladies in the beginning. I don't know. I fall asleep with the TV on pretty much every night. I think I never had a TV in the bedroom in the early part of my life. When I was a kid, we didn't have a TV in there. When we were first married, we didn't have a TV in the bedroom. And then suddenly it became, oh, yeah, you got to have a TV in the bedroom. And, you know, then you got it on, and you fall asleep, and you wake up at like 3 or 4 in the morning, excuse me, and the TV is still on. So according to the lead author, who is a scientist with the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, evolutionarily, we're supposed to be sleeping at night in a dark place. It's much more important than people realize for a whole variety of health reasons. So we hear about these sleep studies all the time. It seems like every week. And it's for people who work at night or work third shift, these stories have got to be tiresome at some point because we hear them all the, you know, staying up all night's bad for your health. Yeah, well, who else is going to do this job? You know, this is the way it is. People have to work at night. But Daily exposure to light and darkness helps maintain our 24-hour body clock. We all know that. That regulates our metabolism and our sleep-promoting hormones, blood pressure, and other bodily functions. Well, mounting research is suggesting that disrupting that typical sleep-wake cycle may contribute to poor health, increasing the risk of high blood pressure, diabetes, depression, and obesity, and just general crankiness. That's what I think is really the problem. It's just going to be general, all-around crankiness. So, here's what the researchers did. They analyzed the health and lifestyle data on nearly 44,000 U.S. women who were enrolled in an ongoing study seeking clues to the causes of breast cancer. The analysis focused on data on sleep, light exposure, and weight gain during the study, but not on breast cancer. Women in the study had medical exams and filled out health and lifestyle questionnaires. They enrolled periodically after. Those who reported sleeping at night in a room with a television on or light on were more likely to gain at least 11 pounds over the 5 years than those who slept in the darkness. Also about 30% more likely to become obese. Now, they say similar results will probably, guys will probably have similar results. They just didn't study guys this time. But just because they didn't say it to us, guys, don't take for granted that you can sleep with the TV on. This study comes out this week. Let's be honest. Another study is going to come out next week, and it's going to say something else. And we're all going to be like, ugh. But I honestly believe, I'd like to, if you don't have a TV in your bedroom, do you find that your quality of sleep is better? Because you watch some TV shows and you get these feng shui experts and other people who are saying, listen, the bedroom should just be for sleeping and, other bedroom activities. Should not be for TV. You shouldn't have your Netflix in there and everything else. But I'm wondering if that's the case for most people I know have a TV in the bedroom because people like to lay about and watch TV. That sounds good to me. And when I was a kid, it used to be when you were sick, because I told you, we didn't have TVs in our rooms. But when we were sick, there was always like a portable TV in the house. This was back in the day when they had portable TVs. So we would, like, if we were sick and staying home from school, my mom and dad would let us go into their room because it was the bigger bed. And during the day, they would bring the TV in and we could watch TV while we were homesick. But that was the only exposure I had to TVs in the bedroom as a child. Then I became an adult. I'm all about the TV, Now I got to have a TV everywhere. It seems, and I don't know why. Ro, do you have a TV in your bedroom, if I'm not being too personal? If I am, I still ask the question. You can choose not to answer it.
No, it's fine. I don't have a TV in my bed. I actually prefer to not have a TV in my bedroom.
I've been thinking more and more about that. Do you like that? You like not having the temptation to turn it on and stay up all night and just have it running all,
the whole time you're trying to sleep? I do. I prefer the peace and solitude in the morning and at night. I don't have to worry about being tempted. Yeah. And plus, I learned very early on that it helps you sleep better.
See?
So, yeah. And then
I didn't even need this research. All I had to do was talk to you. I would have been a whole lot better off.
See?
I know. It's my bad. I didn't come to you first.
You should have came to me first. Next time, now.
Well, and it's funny because now we're in the process of a move, and I'm thinking, well, do I want to have this TV in the bedroom? Because I don't turn it on in the morning. Like when I get up in the morning, I don't turn the TV on until I've been up for about a half hour, just because I need complete silence. My wife knows, she doesn't talk to me. The only annoyance I have, the only sound I have in the morning, is one of the dogs whining because she wants to go out the minute I get up, which is fine. I know that she doesn't have to whine, but she still does every day. She whines once. But I like, to your point about the solitude, I need that in the morning. I don't need it so much at night, but I do find I think I'll lay down and I'll go, oh, I'm gonna watch a little Colbert. Well, I'm asleep before the monologue is over.
See, you need time to unwind.
I do need time to unwind because you're not supposed to fall asleep immediately. They say it should take you a few minutes to kind of fall asleep. But I my head hits a pillow and I'm out.
You're working too hard. That's all that is.
I don't know what it is. It's something. Either I'm not sleeping, I'm working too hard, I'm plotting the demise of the Western world, and that's wearing me out. I have no idea what's going on.
Ultimate control?
No, that'd be too much work. Then I'd never sleep. See, that's the catch-22 that I'm in. Yes, I want to control everything. But then I realized that, boy, that's too much work. That's going to keep me busy nonstop. How will I ever fall asleep to the TV if I'm working that hard trying to control the universe?
It sounds like you'd have to have a Colbert on. It helps you go to sleep.
It doesn't have to be Colbert. It could be anything. I don't care. It could be breaking news. It could be whatever, you know, and I'm going to fall asleep.
We got to break you out of those habits. You got to go to sleep to like with a glass of wine in your hand and some jazz music.
See, but the music would probably keep me. The music might do it. Music, anything. I think anything's going to keep me awake, but it doesn't. So it could be, sure, it could be wine and jazz music. It could be death metal and a tequila. Does it, you know, it could just be a glass of water and, you know, a Broadway show tune. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go right to sleep. So, but let's see. Oh, here we go. I keep WGN radio on overnight. The more I want to listen to a segment, the quicker I fall back asleep. Does that count? Yes, but while we don't want you to fall asleep, we want you to be an active listener. If we happen to lull you into a much needed slumber, well then, you know, we'll take that as a good thing. You're welcome. Okay, we'll just put it that way. If we're helping you out, you're welcome. So the scientists are uncertain about this. They're not sure about the disruption in that sleep disruption and release of hormones and appetite may be involved. They don't know. These women in the study, in case you're wondering, well, maybe they gained weight because they were eating snacks. Nope. They were, everything else was equal. Everything was fine. And that was that. So, I don't know. I'm still going to go home. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go home. I'll get home after the show tonight about 2 a.m. And I should go right to bed. I should just lay down. I should let myself kind of relax and unwind. But you know what I'm going to do, Ro? I'm going to hit the bed, bang. I'm going to turn something on. And then I'm either going to fall right asleep or, unfortunately, the opposite will happen because I'll still be all revved up from being here. I'm going to get sucked into some movie, and then it'll be 4 o'clock, and I'll be like, oh, my God, I got to get up in a couple hours. What am I doing?
Oh, that's the worst.
It is the worst. And it always happens with when I know I have something to do the next day, so I have to get up. And I should. I'm an educated guy, not the smartest guy in the room, but smart enough to know that if I didn't turn the TV on, I wouldn't get sucked into a movie.
See?
And yet,
every time,
it's like crack. That glowing box on the top of the dresser. It's like, calls
me. It's a little bit of addicting. You're trying to, releasing those endorphins.
That's it.
There it is.
I get all crazy. And
it's
I'm like
chocolate.
I'm like the girl in Poltergeist. I'm just sitting on the carpet, cross-legged with my hands. I go, it's here. Oh, the TV's here. And now there's so many channels, so it takes me a while to even look through. From the 630, as kids in the 70s, we didn't have TV in our bedroom, but we did have a little black and white one on the kitchen counter. Watched Ray Rayner every morning so my mom could see the weather forecast. See, we didn't get to have one in the kitchen, so we would have to watch Ray Rayner downstairs because the morning ritual in our house was the AM radio on top of the refrigerator. And I'm not saying this because I'm standing here, but it was WGN. It was Wally Phillips every morning. And then as we got older and my brothers and I would stay out late, probably later than we should have, and if my mom decided to stay up, she wouldn't be downstairs watching TV. She'd be sitting in the kitchen with Eddie Schwartz on. And he was the overnight guy here, Ro.
See, back, look at that. Full circle.
Full
now
circle.
You're the overnight guy here.
Yeah, now I'm doing it. Now Nick gets to be the one that parents are listening to as they wait for their kids to try to sneak in the house, and they go, meh-uh.
Sitting in the dark listening to them.
Yep. It's just waiting. Yeah, because, of course, she'd have to sit. The lights would be, there would be the one light on over the sink. She wouldn't have the big light on in the kitchen, just the one that she always left on over the sink. That was on all night in case somebody had to get up or whatever. So we wouldn't think that mom was still awake because dad would be asleep. He didn't care if we came home. He's like, they'll make it home or you'll wake me up and I'll go get them.
That's how she catches you. How's she going to catch you if you think she's up?
No, she's very sneaky. She was very sneaky. Thankfully, I was such a good kid. It didn't really cause an uproar. All right. On the other side of the news, I want to talk to you about this because there was a huge uproar about a gathering at Wrigley Field. And this is not a political thing so much as just your social consciousness. How much attention do you pay to a parent company's politics or donations or any of that? How much does it affect your purchasing power. How much does it affect? How much does it affect your fandom? All of that. So we'll get into that on the other side of the news. Right now, though, we must head to the newsroom. I am going to find the big fancy thing that I have to say before, because I know it has something to do with Steve or Roe or something. Not you, Roe. Roe Khan. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. Good to see you, Vic. How are things?
Good to see you, man. Been a while.
It has been a while. I've been, you know, it's too dark. I get scared. I get scared of the dark.
Well, this is a great time slot for you.
Yeah, no, it's nice to be back. I just have the lights on very, you know, I have it bright. I try not to look out the window, you know, you pretend it's still daytime. Yeah, so it's good. It's good. We're going to have some fun tonight. Good to see you, as always. All right. When it comes to your sports fandom or your pocketbook, how much are you guided by social consciousness and your own internal morality? And how much are you guided by, listen, I don't care what big company X and Y do. I'm going to do this because I like it. And the reason I bring this up is because there was a lot of talk this weekend and a lot of discussion about a big fundraiser that happened at Wrigley Field. It was a big Trump fundraiser. Now, we're not going to get into a big political debate here, whether you like the president, you don't like the president. It doesn't matter to this particular argument. In the last 2 days, there have been two columns, one in the Tribune by Eric Zorn and one in the Sun-Times by Rick Morrissey, all talking about this, and their political slant is well known. Eric Zorn, especially, and Rick Morrissey, and I think people know my political bend as well. But the point wasn't that the fundraiser was happening. They were not happy about that. The point was, all right, in Eric Zorn's case, he said, "Listen, the Cubs as a corporation have done a number of things over the last 6 months or a year that has made him reevaluate his fandom. And he can no longer support the team based on a number of things. The capper being the Cubs going to the premium network next year, owned by Sinclair, signing certain people, having this fundraiser, all of that." He said, you know what? He started following the Sox at spring training, and it's a drastic thing. And he understands that sports are in your blood. There's something, they're geographic. They come from long-held love of certain teams, family history, all of that bleeds into sports. So we'll have sports in column A. Is there something that a team could do, whether it's the Cubs, the White Sox, the Blackhawks, whatever team you follow? Maybe you're a New England Patriots fan. Does what Robert Kraft is accused of, does that make you say, well, I can't like the team anymore because the owner was at a rub and tug in Florida, allegedly, and things, you know, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the whole culture behind that. So now I can't like the team. Or do you say, you know what, all I care about is what's on the field. I don't, you know, what people are doing up there. We know ownership is always going to try to make money. Doesn't matter what business they're in. Business is there to make money. They're going to do what they have to do. Now, Rick Morrissey made a good point based on the fundraiser that a lot of times sports franchises and things like that try to stay apolitical. Because taking a political stance when you're a sports team or a business runs the risk of alienating a good portion of your potential fan base, which then cuts down on revenue, which is the antithesis of why you're in business. Nobody's in business to lose money. We all know that. He also mentioned, which is funny because I got a text from the 847 that says, "I loved wearing Nike logo hats, shoes, etc. But since they signed Colin Kaepernick, I've switched to Under Armour logo attire." And Rick Morrissey, in his piece, used Colin Kaepernick as an example. Because a lot of people feel the way the texter from the 847 did. Colin Kaepernick is a very polarizing figure. No NFL team will sign him for that reason. It can be argued that the president of the United States is as polarizing, if not more polarizing, than Colin Kaepernick. But by the Cubs deciding that they are going to be very out with their political support, they run a risk of alienating their some of their fan base. They may increase some people too, but that's the point. Now, we can take it from sports to other things. Maybe your dining dollars. Do you go to Chick-fil-A based on their anti-gay marriage stance in the past? Now, they are still bearing the brunt of that, even though the CEO made those comments a long time ago. He made comments about that a long time ago. But now, even this year in Cincinnati, when Chick-fil-A was going to offer free sandwiches to people wearing red, no, they faced a horrible backlash from people who said, listen, we're not going to support a business that, in their opinion, in their thought process, promotes hate or is intolerant. Same with Cracker Barrel. Remember Cracker Barrel? They were trying to get in their employee handbook that you had to be heterosexual to work at Cracker Barrel. Now, they've since changed. They've become more accepting. They stopped carrying things from the Duck Dynasty people because of comments made by those people. So they've tried to make it. But do you still say, well, I'm not going to eat at Cracker Barrel. I'm not going to eat at Chick-fil-A. I'm not going to wear Nike. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to support the Cubs. I'm going to support something else. Glenn in Evanston says, I'm a fan of sports, period, despite what the owners believe or support. And that's, see, I think it would be much harder. And I agree with Glenn because, to be honest, unless it's something really egregious, what ownership does doesn't affect me as a fan. Now, I know you will say, well, that's not socially conscious. Well, maybe. But shouldn't sports be something that we use to escape all of that? You know, that's why with sports, it's one thing. Now, there are some restaurants that I don't eat at because of social stances that they've taken. You know, have I in the past? Yeah. But now it's like, well, and I don't do it as a protest. I don't feel I'm protesting. I'm just like, well, there's a lot of other places to get certain types of food. I can get a chicken sandwich pretty much anywhere. I can get, you know, I can get a home-style breakfast pretty much anywhere I want to go. So my question for you again is, how much does what a parent company does politically and socially affect your decision to either spend your money there, be a fan there, or otherwise support that business? 312-981-7200. That's the number. I want to hear from you. It's WGN. Do you pay attention to your either fan dollars or dining dollars or clothing dollars going to a parent company that may be supporting a political or social agenda that is opposite of yours? When do you decide that the time has come to pull the plug? Eric Zorn said he pulled the plug on the Cubs after a number of things. The emails from Joe Ricketts, the new network, all kinds of things, the fundraiser at the park. Where do you draw the line? 312-981-7200. Trucker Rich has been hanging on. Trucker, what's happening?
Not much. How are you doing today, Brian?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I was born and raised a Cubs fan. You know, through all the bad years, there was the good years, you know, the fun years. But then all of a sudden, the Cubs seemed to become an elitist. You know, it's like when they left GN, it was because they, you know, GN wasn't going to pay the money that they wanted for the product they were providing.
Right.
You know, and it's like, okay, now you've turned your back on the whole country. Because, like, even when I was in the Army down in Georgia, we could still watch the Cubs games when it was on GN, the superstation.
Right.
You know, so you had Cubs fans all over the country. And then, you know, now they've become elitist because now they want to put it on a private network, basically.
Yeah.
you know, that may not be available in everybody's, you know, area.
Yeah, you know, it's all about it's all about the bottom line, Rich, and that's you know, that it's, we know that the problem is we know that, and yet we're still sometimes shocked and angered when they owners, not just the Cubs, but any big business owner does exactly what we know they're going to do. It's like, you know, trusting a snake not to bite us, but they always right. do, and it's still a disappointment because especially with sports teams, we devote huge chunks of our lives and our heart to supporting these teams. We buy the merchandise. We watch the games. We listen to the games. We go to the games. And so when they do something like this that says, hey, listen, we're all about the dollar. We're going to do what it takes to make the most money for us. Basically, screw you guys. It still hurts.
Right. And then when the team supports a political person, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, they could have come out and done the same thing for Barack Obama,
mm-hmm.
and I probably still would have felt the same way. Leave the politics out of sports.
Yeah.
You know, it's sports. It's entertainment. You know, don't force your, you know, it's basically forcing your beliefs on me. But, you know, another team that has high ticket prices, I mean, like, look at the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
how much stuff have they put back into the Chicago community? They've built that extra ice house that they use, but it's open to the public for youth skating, and you know they support other museums.
In fairness, all the teams have charities that they run and they do so. So they do try to give back. But the point is, are you, like, we don't know? We don't really know the political stance of the Blackhawks ownership or the White Sox ownership, but we've seen a lot of the Cubs ownership, and that's why people are starting to wonder. Rich, I appreciate the call. Thanks for dropping by tonight. Let's say hi to Sally, who's been hanging on. Hi, Sally.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks. So what do you think?
I will stop spending money with the Cubs until Trump is out of office.
Now, was this weekend the last straw, or had you kind of made that decision before?
Yeah, I tell you, I spent $500 on tickets this year, and that's it. And, you know, the Ricketts also tried to run Tom Tunney's out of the aldermanic race. I don't know all the details, but they, you know, were supporting the candidates that were against him. And then also, you know, I appreciate not having the cement fall down from the grandstands. I appreciate the renovations, but the place looks like Disneyland. So you might say, hey, well, what happened to my old Wrigley Field? And it's really great that it's all been renovated and it's nice, but they've kind of gone a little overboard, and they've monetized every square inch of that park and the surrounding area.
Yeah, and that's not unique to the Cubs. You look around the league, and everybody does that. Anything that can have a name slapped on it is having a name slapped on it. Anything that can be, as you say, monetized can be monetized.
It's like it's not democratized anymore. There's all these private clubs. Mm-hmm. Private this space, private that space, you know. So it, you know, it's supposed to be a kind of a democratized sport, if you will, and that just goes again against the fact that they're fundraising for Trump. So that has actually been the last straw. And you've talked about all the other reasons, you know, before this.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call, Sally. And, you know, you can come down to the South Side. We got a nice park.
I'm kind of equal opportunity for sure. I love the fireworks, and I actually like the old Comiskey Park better.
Yeah.
But hey, what can you do with progress?
Progress is right. Somebody's saying you got to have money to put a winning team on the field. I'm not begrudging any of these sports franchises making money. That's not the point of this. You know, and it's. Listen, somebody's upset that, you know, somebody's against the president. Listen, this is America. We can be, we can have opinions that are different from each other. People don't have to blindly support the president. They have their reasons. It's okay, you know, and it's okay to use your dollar to say, I don't want my money going to support a public, an agenda that this company has made public that I don't agree with. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to agree with it, but it doesn't make it wrong. And I'm sure for some people who have decided to, and I know we keep using the Cubs as an example, but they're the big story. People who are deciding not to support the Cubs or not to go to the games or anything else, it's probably very difficult for them. Because, you know, this is a team has a place in your heart. And if you decide for whatever reason that you can't support them anymore, that's a difficult decision. Let's see. There was somebody. Brian, no Chick-fil-A, no Papa John's, no Hobby Lobby here. I don't want my money ending up supporting a cause I am vehemently opposed to. And that's why I brought this whole thing up, to see if that in fact was the case. That, you know, sometimes your own code of ethics does trump, no pun intended, your fandom, your desire for a chicken sandwich, your desire for this kind of pizza. And it does make it easier when there are a lot of options. You don't like what Papa John said? Okay, you can order a million different kinds of pizza. Does he miss it? Well, maybe down the line. Are the Cubs going to miss if people don't go to the games or don't buy jerseys? At some point, sure. And to just address the point that it's supposed to be democratized, unfortunately, that's not the case. If any sports team can sell tickets at a higher price and keep selling out, they're going to do that. We don't all, going to a game is a privilege. It's not a right. I love the fact that most sports you can still hear on the radio for free. You can still watch a lot of stuff on TV for free or low cost, depending on what system you're watching and what local teams you have. So, unfortunately, we're not entitled to go to these games. So, that's just a sidebar. All right, let's do this. Then we come back. It's news time, and we're going to switch it up. A very uplifting, a very happy story. Who says music can't make a huge difference? We'll talk about it on the other side of the news. It's WGN.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matte black, got the bushes black to match. Riding
on. It's a remix. I thought this was the original Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus. Yeah, we're playing all the music all night. It's Old Town Road. If you haven't heard this song, I don't know where you've been for the last, I don't know, 187 years. No, this just did. I had not heard of this song. And then a few weeks ago, I was listening to some show, and they were talking about it and how all the little kids love this song. And everybody loves this Old Town Road song. And I was like, okay. I don't know anything about it, but might be something to listen to. So then, it's now. Do you like this song, Ro? Do you like Lil Nas X with Billy Ray Cyrus?
I'm neither here nor there with it, honestly.
The big, the big controversy when it came out was, is it country? Because country people were not going to play this. We're not going to chart it as a country song. You know, it's
a country hip-hop mashup.
It's as country as, yeah, it's a mashup. It's two different styles getting together. It's all about harmony. It's Billy Ray Cyrus once again popping his head up from the cultural morass and raising up and saying, I'm more than Miley Cyrus's dad. Remember me? I was achy breaky heart back in the day. So Billy Ray back in, Lil Nas X coming out with this song. And they said kids loved it. And I was like, how... Because it amazes me sometimes, because I'm, you know, out of touch, that little kids get exposed and hooked on music that some people have never heard of. So a couple weeks ago, where it's I teach during the day, and it's elementary school kids. So the kids are there, we're doing a thing where they're playing. There's a DJ, so the kids are dancing. These are kindergarten, first, second, third graders, and this song comes on, this Old Town Road, and people lose their mind. These kids are going crazy, and girls are dancing, and the little boys are dancing, and they're doing the cowboy hop and spinning a lasso, and they're jumping around, and it is just It was hilarious to watch because, again, I didn't realize that the song had the kind of reach that it did. And that's, you know, that's just me being me, again, out of touch. So I know the song affects people. And we know that music affects us. I don't care who you are or how old you are. There is a song that every time you hear it will conjure up certain memories, conjure up certain feelings. It'll make you remember a love that you had, a love that you lost, something great that happened in your life, something horrible that happened in your life. Music plays a huge part in everybody's life. And we're going to have a musician in here in just a little bit. Jahari Noel is going to come in. She's going to talk about the music that she creates. But I think sometimes, especially with pop music, songs that, you know, this Old Town Road is going to be a huge hit for the summer. And then probably by September, it'll be relegated to, you know, hey, remember that song from a couple months ago? And maybe Lil Nas X will come out with another big hit and Billy Ray will come out with something and they'll move on from this. But for right now, this song is making an impact and it's touching people's lives. It might not touch yours, it might not touch mine, but it is touching some people's lives. And that's why when I saw this story, I was like, man, this is the perfect example of how important music can be and how something that even though we don't think it's really important, it can reach out and touch somebody. A 4-year-old Minnesota boy is autistic, and he's mostly nonverbal. His mom works for a radio station in Minneapolis, WCCO, and the song has been playing around the house. So Daniel is 4 years old, as I said, and the song comes on, and to give you a little backstory, so Daniel hasn't responded well to speech therapy. He's been going, and his mom and dad have been working with him, and therapists have been working with him, trying to get him to be a little more verbal. He has a couple, two other siblings that are also autistic, but they are verbal. So mom and dad were having some trouble trying to get Daniel to speak. And they're working as hard as they can. And Daniel's working as hard as he can, but things just were not working out. So the other day, this song is playing in the house, and this is what his mom heard. I'll play it again. Now, if you don't I can't imagine the emotion that this mom was feeling. She said she heard her son sing this song and put those, carry the melody and say those words and sing that song, and she broke down. It's such a great story. It's one of those things. Rarely do we talk about a lot of news that is bad and a lot of things that are, you know, people are divided on this or that and they're polarized because of this and that. But if you're not touched in some way by hearing that, I don't know who you are. I don't know what's going on with you because you got no soul. So that was not a lot to it other than this was such a great thing. It made me appreciate not only Daniel and his progress. His mom called it a miracle that, you know, we had an Old Town Road miracle. So she tweeted this out, and this was her tweet. We had an Old Town Road miracle at my house. My son Daniel has autism and doesn't talk. We caught him humming the Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus tune the other day. Then, bless God, my baby started singing the song on his own. His therapists have started to use it in his sessions. So she tweeted that out. And Lil Nas X saw that, and he responded to her tweet. He said, what a king, talking about Daniel. So there you go. There we brighten up the night a little bit. Just when we come off talking about companies promoting agendas that we don't like, all of a sudden it's like, hey, look, do you feel good about that? I know I feel good about it. So congratulations. All right. Here's something else you can feel good about. Now, it is nighttime. and it is June. And June means that the planets are doing all sorts of craziness, Jupiter being one of them. Where is it? Here we go. I have to tell you about this because I love talking about what's happening in the sky, especially this time of year when you can see things that you don't usually see. So it's been over 400 years since Galileo spotted the first moons beyond our own. The summer season means that Jupiter is visible to the naked eye. Have you gone out and looked for Jupiter? I have to be honest, my astronomy is not probably up to snuff. So I look up and I see things and I just figure everything's a star. But Jupiter is up there and we can see it now this time of year. So with just a pair of binoculars or a small telescope, you can also see the four largest moons that may be visible. Now, I know in the last week we've been told that the moon is part of Mars, and that's, you know, I'm not going to argue that point. I don't think I have to. But Jupiter has four moons, and if you get your binoculars out, or if you have a small telescope, you can see them. Now, according to the Adler Planetarium, the best place to catch a glimpse of the moon is along the lakefront, because there's a flat, something about the curve of the Earth, and it's flat, and so it's low and to the southeast. That's the optimal viewing to see the moons of Jupiter. So if you're standing on the shore of the lake, you can look to the southeast, and you can look low, zoop, and you should be able to see it. Now, the best days to see it, you're in luck, that I'm telling you now, so you can make your plans. This weekend, the 15th and the 16th. So Father's Day, oh, wouldn't it be nice to take your dad down to the shore of the lake sometime in the middle of the night. Come on, Dad. Happy Father's Day. We're going to look at the planets. We're going to see the moons of Jupiter. Wasn't that a train song? Well, it's Drops of Jupiter. Never mind. So the 15th and the 16th. The 16th will be the most optimal because the Earth's moon will illuminate Jupiter. So Sunday night is the night to go out. Get your binoculars. Get a small telescope. I don't know if you have a telescope. If you're not using it to look into other high-rise buildings in the city, you can of course then use it to look at the moons of Jupiter. So that should be a lot of fun. So it is an exciting time to watch the moon, according to the Adler, because we have a chance to see the moons move, much like how Galileo once did, and we'll be seeing them, even with a small telescope, they say, we're going to be seeing them much clearer than Galileo could. And if you don't have a telescope and you want to do this, look up. There are a lot of branches of the Chicago Public Library that have astronomy packs that you can rent, that they will lend you, and some with telescopes and some with binoculars. All you need is your library card to check them out. So if you want to check them out, if you want to get an astronomy kit from the library, you can do that. But don't forget, Sunday night, that's when you can see Jupiter's moons. All right, we were talking about music having an effect. We are going to welcome Jahari Noel in just a minute. She has a new EP that has just dropped. She's going to perform some of the music off of that. We're going to get her story and talk to her about her process of creating music that will affect people down the road, much like Lil Nas X. So maybe one day kids will be doing some crazy dance to some of Jahari's songs. Who knows? But we'll find out as we meet Jahari after this on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. For some reason, I thought we were in the news. Ro, this is my body clock is all screwed up. I thought we were in the news. I was waiting for Vic to throw it back. Vic doesn't start for another 9 minutes. Plus, I was very excited to be talking to our guest. Wonderful R&B artist, Jahari Noel, is here. Welcome. We're glad to have you. I know you've been on with Patty before, so it's good to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you've got a new... For people who may not have heard you the first time you were here, you're a Southside lady. You're born and raised here in Chicago. How did you become who you are?
Well, my family is very versed in music. My mother loves music. She always played music for us. And my father, he DJed when he was in college.
Oh, cool.
And into his... into our early years, he kept a lot of the records, and music was just all around the house. So we didn't watch a lot of TV.
Okay.
We listened to a lot of music. So
nice.
It was when we were cleaning, he'd cut on like a VHS with like house music and all types of music, and we would just listen to it all day, all night, and that was really kind of like our family thing, was music.
Nice.
So it really became something that I cling to. Our parents kept us very like involved. Me and my twin sister, we were in choir, gymnastics, cheerleading, theater, dance.
Wow, when did you have time? When did you have time to make music?
I didn't start making music until I got older. But as I got older, I realized through those activities that I really love music the most.
Yeah. Now, it sounds like growing up with your mom and dad, there were all different types of music. How did you gravitate toward the music you're creating now, which is kind of R&B, a little soul, all very very mellow and cool.
Well, I have to give them credit for that because of what they exposed us to. So our family was very big on like R&B, soul, hip hop. So we listened to like, you know, the Jacksons, Destiny's Child, even in the gospel realm, a lot of like Yolanda Adams, the Clark sisters, okay. Kirk Franklin, Donnie McClurkin, and then like right back into that pop R&B, we had D'Angelo, Maxwell, literally everything from the era of, well, it goes as far back as the 1960s, but like in the era of
All the way back to the 60s?
Yeah, but even like the main era of like the early 2000s in our childhood, we really listened to like a lot of R&B.
That's cool. It's because it's, you know, you think what young people making music, they're all going to try to make pop songs, or they're going to do hip hop. They're going to do. So it's nice to kind of have a throwback. And when I was reading about your stuff today and reading something that you wrote as I was listening to your stuff on SoundCloud, because I went to your website, JaharriNoel.com. So I was listening, and the thing that jumped out at me was you said you make music to relate to people, that your goal is for people to feel what you're feeling when they listen to the song. And I think that's hugely important. So it was what makes for you that the most important thing?
Well, thank you. And the reason I would say that is the most important is because as human beings and as people in this world, we just have so much that we experience, that we encounter, that we go through. Some things that we, you know, may speak out about, some things we may not speak about, you know, certain feelings and just moments. And I think it's really important as an artist to connect to your listeners, to make them feel like I've been through this too, or we can go through this together. So I think that's the most important thing about the music.
Well, things that you don't say plays a big part, because that is the title of the new LP, Tick Soul. What is Tick Soul?
So Tick Soul stands for Things You Can't Say Out Loud, and it just highlights those subtleties in those moments that people don't always speak out about, those things that may be uncomfortable or not super digestible for them to say to other people or even address within themselves, that type of awareness. And it just really highlights how self-awareness can help you heal. So understanding if you feel regretful, or if you feel like you're in love, or if you feel like you have someone in your life that is bringing you super negative energy and you must confront it, those different emotions and addressing those things and confronting those things help you to heal.
Is it difficult to write songs that are that personal, to expose, like a lot of people wouldn't want to expose those feelings to anybody, even if they are trying to do it through art?
Definitely.
Is it draining?
Well, it's relieving. I guess I say it's relieving because I feel like I needed to heal in my own right. And through the music, I'm able to express myself. And so being able to let go of those feelings and all of those thoughts really helped me. And it was really just like a blessing to be able to turn that into music that people can enjoy. You know what I mean? It's one thing to just go in a studio and create whatever and say whatever, and then it's just, oh, you scrape it under the rug and you never let the world hear it. It's another thing when it's something that people are like, oh, I really like this, or oh, I really connect to this. So I'm really grateful for that.
Has there been one of your songs that you wrote and you obviously felt it was very important in it, and but you thought, well, maybe as much as I want to relate to people, this may be too personal. Other people might not get it. And then people started responding going, we did get it. And you were like, oh, that's great. I didn't expect that.
Yes, actually, there are two songs on the project that make me feel that way. The first song is Regrets, which I'll be singing this evening.
Great.
And that song was actually created when I had strep throat and I had to stay home from work. And I had this really bad FOMO fear of being...
Yes, you don't want to miss out.
Fear of missing out. And I just wrote that in comparison to like my life in music.
Okay.
As I have friends who are artists and they're super talented and I would see them like doing amazing things. And then here I am at work, but not at work because I'm sick, not pursuing music. And so I felt super complacent. And in that time and in that feeling, I created that song. And I was very scared that it would feel too personal or that people would feel like, oh, why is she being such a Debbie Downer? But they really appreciated it. And it turns out a lot of people could relate to that feeling of not wanting to live in regret or not living in the past. So that song is definitely one of them. And then the other one is Too Much. Okay. And so Too Much was a song that I wrote where I was at work, and at my last job I had a boss, and everyone has a crappy boss once in their life.
Sure.
And,
sometimes, you know, more than one.
Yeah, sometimes more than one. And so the boss that I had, she wasn't super nice to me, and over time that festered and it built up within me, and it, you know, it frustrated me, and it got to a point where she confronted me one day and she was like, you know, if you don't like it here, you can leave. You don't have to work here. We don't need you.
Wow.
And I was so angry in that moment. Yeah. Like I could do something that could get me in trouble.
Then
but I didn't do it.
Regrets. Add that to the list.
I didn't do it. I just, I held my tongue and I didn't say anything at all. It was crazy. And so that emotion right after I got off of work was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was a 4 a.m. shift.
Okay.
And so on the way to the studio from that work shift, I was so angry and still carrying all of that day. And I literally went into the studio and created the song Too Much. And it was crazy because I was in traffic on the way to the studio and I kept repeating the lyrics. The lyrics go, if you really got a problem, you should probably speak up. My name keep rolling off your tongue just a little too much. And I kept saying that. I kept saying it over and over and over and over. And I'm like, what am I trying to say? And so I get into the studio and I'm actually singing it instead of just saying it. And I was like, I should make this a song.
Yeah, definitely.
And so he was like, my engineer was like, well, what do you want to do today? Because I was going to do a totally different song.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I'm going to do this song. So I'm going to record it and just let me know what you think. So I actually went and recorded, sang it. And he was like, wow, I like this. Like, this is cool.
Sounds good. Well, we're going to hear that song. We're going to hear more from Jahari Noel. We're going to talk. I want to talk a little bit about the process while you're, you know, as we get to some songs. We're going to do that after the news, which comes your way after this on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. I'm here till 1 o'clock. Then Nick DiGilio comes in. That was Crazy Lonely by Jahari Noel. Jahari is making her way into the performance studio. Her debut EP, Things You Can't Say Out Loud, has just been released. You can see her at on June 29th at Bottom Lounge in Chicago. All the information about the Things You Can't Say Out Loud EP, Jahari's tour, everything else at JahariNoel.com. I see everybody moving into the performance space. Okay. And like any good, like any great artist, Jahari does not travel alone. She has a wonderful entourage. I see some gentlemen in there. Who'd you bring in with you, Jahari?
So in here, I've got my manager, Jim. I've got my good friend, Manessi, who's going to sing with me.
Yeah.
And I've got Black Finn here, who's going to play guitar.
Very nice. Now, you started talking about the songs and how the one came to you about your bad boss. Do you find that songs come to you quickly? Do some songs, it's just one or two words, and then it takes a while to build? Is it all different ways? How does the music come out of you?
It really depends on the situation. Sometimes they hit me like right away and the idea is just right there. And then other times, a lot of the songs take more time, more development, more thought, more manipulation and experimenting.
And now, dudes, the people you're working with, because you write these yourself, how much input then do producers have, do things like that? Or is it a challenge to keep your own voice and say, this is what I want to do, this is my vision, and, you know, if it works, great. If it doesn't, well, I'll figure it out because it's me.
Well, they really are super collaborative. So, you know, we work together, we throw ideas off of each other. And if we all like it, we roll with it. If we feel like we can keep working at it, we keep working at it. But we really work as a team and as a unit. So I'm grateful for that.
Very nice. Well, let's hear some of the results. You've got, this is one of the songs off Things You Can't Say Out Loud. What are we going to hear first?
This first song is called Regrets. And basically, if you're like me and you've lived with some regrets or you've lived in the past knowing you can't go back and change it, then this song is for you.
All right.
It's all love to you. I'm not the type to get jealous. Lately I've been overzealous. Been learning too many lessons the hard way. And I've been preparing your progression. I see the way that you do you and all the hype that you get. I'm feeling way too complacent. I can't be one to forget. Don't wanna live. Regret. Don't wanna live in regret.
Shoulda done, woulda better. Shoulda done, if I'm better. Shoulda done, woulda better. Shoulda done.
Here I am back again with where I started. I see you moving miles away from where you started. I'm losing focus trying to keep up with your glow. It's funny cause you probably never even really know. See, the cool thing is to keep it all together. Only show you shine. I like the times you're doing better. The perfect disguise to silence the times you have these battles in your mind.
Shoulda done, woulda better. Shoulda done, coulda done, if I knew better. Shoulda done, coulda done, woulda better. Shoulda done, coulda done.
Don't wanna live in regret.
Shoulda done, coulda done.
Don't wanna live in regret.
Shoulda done, coulda done.
See, nobody's perfect. We're full of mistakes. And living in the past doesn't change your fate. Gotta lock in on yourself, focusing on you. No more living in what you're going through.
Done if I knew better.
Yeah, very nice. Jahari Noel, Regrets, from her new EP, her debut EP, Things You Can't Say Out Loud. We're going to hear another song from the EP and talk more with Jahari. And wonderful job on the guitar and the background, guys. They're very nice. Very nice. The whole thing sounded terrific. We'll hear more with everybody in just a couple minutes. Let's do this. Then there's more. 720 WGN.
and squeaked out a win.
Morning
over
Sports
Auburn
with Dave Hennett.
Point before beating Texas Tech.
Dave, I don't mean to interrupt you, but right now they are taken by crane from the top of the building next door, an outhouse, a construction outhouse from the top of the roof to the bottom. If that cable breaks, it's going to be Armageddon on Wacker Drive. It looks like it's almost to the ground, Dave. Stand by. And the toilet has made it. The toilet has made it, Dave. It safely landed on Wacker. Back to you.
The Steve Cochran Show, where the flies every morning.
Remember when you asked me if I'd ever punched a host?
This could be the day. This could be the day.
On 720 WGN.
You're ready to leave on the family vacation. You pile the kids and luggage into the SUV, hit the garage door remote, and nothing happens. Now what?
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green tea.
Hi, it's Tonya Khoury for my family business, Green Tea Services. Right now, we have a garage door maintenance special. Our trained technicians come out and adjust the springs, check the cables, inspect the rollers, tighten hinges, and give your door and opener a complete lubrication. All for just $47.
Service to a
green tea.
Garage doors fail when you least expect it. Don't get stuck in or out of your garage. Call for our $47 garage door maintenance special. Call Green Tea now for details. 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green tea.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA. Or greenteaservices.com.
The house was new when we moved in. Everything that's gone wrong with it is our fault.
We are talking today with mega customer Sue Dwyer of Lake Villa.
Having heard the advertisement and then having had bad luck with a couple of different contractors, I was trying to think who to get to do these projects that I've been putting off. Little birdie kind of hit me in the head one day and said, you heard those advertisements about Mega Pros, why don't you give them a shot? So I did, and I was very, very happy. Because our project was fairly small, and the one thing that we liked about what Meg had told us in the beginning was no project is too big or too small. You know, if we'll get it done for you. The experience that we had with Mega was just phenomenal.
One Mega call does it all.
847-658-8989.
847-658-8989.
Mega. MegaPros.com.
One Mega call does it all.
Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Mike and Joe. Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN-TV, news at 9. Oh, it's just me. All right, that's good, because we've got enough music coming up. I am very excited to have Johari Noel in the studio with us tonight. Her debut EP, Things You Can't Say Out Loud, or do you say Tixol? Either way, it's out, and it sounds great. It was Billboard magazine, we've all heard of that, said she unwraps love's intricacies on her debut EP. Now, I got to tell you, Johari, as you were singing Regrets, first of all, you were right. It's a song that everybody who listens to that goes, oh yeah, I should have done something different or could have done something different. I pictured me sitting in a small dark like jazz club. I wanted to turn the lights down in here and just because the groove was there and the message was there. It was phenomenal.
Thank you so much.
So it was great for this time of night. It was very moody. When you're writing the personal stuff that you do, does that all come into play, or is it just let me get the emotion out first and then I'll kind of craft everything? Do the lyrics come first? Do you hear the music first? How does it work, or does it change every time?
It definitely changes every time. Sometimes I'll hear a beat or some music and I'll feel a certain emotion and create a story beyond that I've felt, or I'll have an idea already of like something I've been feeling and it just kind of starts to grow as I write it.
Has there ever been an idea or an emotion that you thought, I want to write a song about this, but it's too soon. This one's too raw. I can't do this one yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, that's good that you haven't had that kind of pain yet. I mean, everybody's got it, but it's good. And sometimes, like you said before, it is a little, it's healing to get it to get that kind of thing out. So if people come to Bottom Lounge on the 29th, what can they expect? Is it kind of like the what we're hearing here, where you have one guitarist and a backup singer? Are the live shows a little different?
Well, the live shows are a bit more dynamic, so this is more simple, just because it's, you know, it's super late and super chill. And during the shows, I have like a full band, so I'll have like a guitarist, a bassist, and someone on the drums, and then I have Manessi as well.
Do you like, which do you prefer, performing live or being in the studio, or maybe you don't prefer either one?
I like them both equally. It's the same feeling, I would say. Like, I used to think that I was more comfortable in the studio or more comfortable in front of an audience, but I get the same excitement in both realms. So I like them both.
How does it feel to look out when you're singing things that are so raw that you've experienced, looking into the people who are experiencing it as well through you? What does that feel like?
For me, that's really cool. Like, it's amazing to see people's reactions and to see, sometimes I'll see people like sing along or like nodding their head, and that's even more rewarding because it's like, oh wow, you know, people don't have to listen to you, and they don't owe you, you know, a bunch of love. They give it to you just off of their own free will. And so I'm super grateful for that. And those moments when we're performing are super, super cherished and super valuable.
What lessons now, because if people don't know, you were part of the show Chasing Destiny on BET. You got to work alongside Kelly Rowland. What kind of lessons did you learn about the music business and just the whole process? Because there are people who have songs inside them. They have the thing, but they don't get the bigger, like, businessy picture of the whole thing.
Well, working with Kelly was really amazing in a bunch of different ways. The first way I would say is because she really was like a big sister to each and every one of us. She was very genuine and made sure that we felt comfortable around her and that we were comfortable enough to learn and absorb all the information she had to give us. And also working with her, we worked late nights, like kind of like this. So we would have rehearsals from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. every day.
Wow.
And the first 2 hours were singing, the second 2 hours were dancing, and then the rest of the evening was like a lot of group work into the morning. And it was really cool to have that experience because you recognize how much grind and how much hard work they put in, and how much they really value rehearsal in the industry. Like, rehearsal is a really big thing, practice is a really big thing, and just constantly working at your craft is like a really, really big thing. So I was grateful to really like take that in and take in all the different experiences as just lessons for me to grow as an artist. So I'm super grateful for that.
Well, and you have been growing, so much so that you have a debut EP. It is out now, Things You Can't Say Out Loud. If you go to joharinoel.com, you can get all the information. You can get her schedule. You can do all that. We're gonna hear another song from the EP. What are we hearing now?
The next song is called Release. Do everything I can to show you everything I am and everything I'm not. I'll give you all I got. Oh, how real. Down, I let you in. I fight, but I don't want it to end. No, I'm ready and I'm willing. Unravel all your feelings. This time we ever can't replace it. Show me where you wanna take it.
you've been hiding in me, you can fight in with ease. You caught me by surprise, you've been open all night with me. It's been a ride of release. Make me feel like I'm lost without you. Fill me up with thoughts about you. Keep me wanting more, more. I'll do the same. Make you feel like you're lost without me. Fill you up with thoughts about me. Keep you wanting more, more, more. I let you in. I fight, but I don't want it to end. No.
Very nice. Jahari Noel. That is Release from the new EP, Tixol, Things You Can't Say Out Loud. Very nice. Jahari, tell us again who is with you in there.
Thank you so much. I've got Manessi with me, singing with me. I've got Black Finn playing for me. And I've got Jim McCarter, who's my manager.
Very nice. Well, that, again, perfect song for this time of night in this mood, and it was terrific. So congratulations on all your success. I see, you're also not only a singer, not only a songwriter, also an actress. You did some things on Fox, so you're just all over the place. You're like a triple threat.
Wow, thank you.
Very nice. So which do you like? Which music is your life, right? It's the acting is a nice, or is, you know, which do you, obviously you must like doing both. But
I love doing both. They're both equally challenging. They're both equally fun. They're both equally exciting.
Yes.
They're just two different realms, you know. In one way they're pretty similar. With acting and with music, you kind of channel an emotion, a feeling, a character in your music, and you do that with acting. But they're different in the way of, like, you know, the setup. So yeah, when you audition, you go through all these different processes, and when you're on set, you're there for hours. But it's kind of the same with music. So with music, you're constantly auditioning your songs. You know what I mean? When you play
right.
them for audiences, they're constantly listening and checking it out and giving it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And you just really have to have tough skin in both realms. You have to be able to say, you know what? I can handle this. I can take this, and I'm going to keep going. And so I love that the most about both acting and singing.
Better food on a TV set or backstage at the bottom lounge where you're going to be on June 29th?
Definitely on a TV set.
How about
it? A full platter of food and snacks. It's ridiculous.
Those craft service people, they're not messing around on those TV sets.
It's a setup. It's a ploy.
And yet they give these people on TV so much food, and yet they want everybody to be very tiny on TV.
Exactly.
It's a weird trap that they put you in.
Yeah, it's just definitely a trap.
Yeah. Here's a giant bowl of M&Ms. Don't eat them, though.
Exactly.
Jahari Noel. Somebody texts in, can you please spell her name? Johari Noel, Noelle. You can go JahariNoel.com. You can find out all about the debut EP, Things You Can't Say Out Loud. You can go see her June 29th at Bottom Lounge. All the information is on the website. Again, congratulations. Thanks for being here. The songs were wonderful. It was great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
All right, let's do this. Then it's news time, 720 WGN.
Going to the chapel, and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel, and we're gonna get married.
Jesus. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. Nick D coming up in just a few minutes. Yes, oh, a lot of people going to the chapel. They're getting married. It's wedding season this summer. How many weddings are you going to? How many times as a bridesmaid are you told, don't worry, you can wear this dress again? How many times, guys, do you have to wear rented pants that who knows what happened in the week before? Yes, I know they clean them, but still, ew. Well, It's time for bad brides. Yes, a lot of brides behaving badly, doing all sorts of things. Should be the biggest day of your life. I don't quite understand this whole thing of, you know, see, now I remember, I've been married for 27 years. So when we got married, yes, it was all about my wife and being the bride. And it is the bride's special day. It's the groom's special day, too. But we don't need to worry about that because the groom is just there wearing a rented suit. So that's fine. But over the years, and I think part of the problem is all these wedding reality shows that have popped up, Say Yes to the Dress, the cake show, all these TV shows that young women watch, and they think this is how a wedding is supposed to be. You're supposed to have a $50,000 dress and a $10,000 cake, and you should be brought in on the back of elephants, and then kangaroos should have the ring in your pouch. It's all, they just go crazy. And it builds unrealistic expectations, and then you give birth to bridezillas. Yes, here's a story. A bride has come under fire from her own family after sharing a list of strict rules for her wedding and asking guests to pay for their own food, alcohol, and cake. Guess what my response card would say? A no. The bridezilla has been slammed by her cousin for what she sent out with the invite. Let's see. The cousin of the bride took to social media to share all the bizarre details of the wedding, and people were outraged. So the page of text asked guests to pay for their own food, alcohol, and cake at the wedding, and instructed that bright colors shouldn't be worn at the ceremony. Sure, because they will distract. How bright are your clothes that you're going to distract from the bride? One, you are a very insecure bride. You are wearing a stark white dress. You're walking down the aisle. You are the center of attention. But if, Barb over there is wearing a fuchsia blouse, get her out. I just want drab colors. That's all that can be in here. It also provided a detailed guide on how people could donate money to the couple's GoFundMe page for their honeymoon. That, to me, is one of the most distasteful things about modern weddings. When people are... I used to be the kind of guy who said, if I'm going to a wedding, I'm always going to give something off a register. And I know you can argue that a gift registry is the same thing as a GoFundMe page, and I would disagree wholeheartedly. Now, the gift registry was something that came about back in the day when people, when they got married, hadn't really been out on their own. Now, you know, by the time people are getting married, they've had their own apartments. They have pots and pans. They have dishes. They might, you know. So I give a check, but I give a check because I want to give a check, not because I'm being asked to, go on the GoFundMe page. She sent her guests an essay of rules for the big day. It said, I love my family and all. This was the cousin. I love my family and all, but my beloved cousin, who was 19 at the time, decided to have a wedding in which she sent an essay with rules for the invitation. All right. Here's some dress code instructions. Now, Ro, let me ask you this. If you got this, would you go to this wedding? Guests are asked to wear, quote, something comfortable, as they were having a casual wedding. Dress pants and a nice button-up shirt, and for women, a nice skirt or dress on top. No need for jackets or ball gowns. Please note, wearing bright colors like red, orange, or yellow with our photography editing style will look washed out and pastel. The bride also advised ladies to not wear heels to the event. People were not allowed to bring cameras to the wedding. This point was non-negotiable. I don't know if you've been to a wedding where you've gotten demands like this, but again, this is a wedding I would not attend.
I've never been to a wedding that's gotten those type of... I've never been to a wedding that had a dress code that you had to say something about.
Yeah, really. Most people say, oh, I'm going to a wedding. I'm going to dress nicely. Unless it's like, hey, we're doing a beach wedding. Then yeah. You go, all right, I'm going to...
Special theme, right?
Right, I'm going to wear beach clothes or I'm getting married in a barn and we're going to, throw hay bales afterwards.
Some people are over control freaks, and I think in this situation, that's what it is. She got a little bit of control and just ran with it.
It's because people fed into her, oh, yes, you're the queen. Another bride, bride goes on a tirade after learning her friends won't pay $3,000 to attend her destination wedding. I'm tempted to just elope. Well, perhaps you should. Bride-to-be's Facebook rant has gone viral. She publicly shamed her friends. She's not an influencer. She's a bad behavior influencer. That's what she is. Her friends, she got mad because they wouldn't pay over $3,000 to attend her destination wedding. I wouldn't pay $3,000 to go to my own wedding.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose?
Yes. I'm going to pay $3,000 to go to your wedding. You know what? Have it here, and I'll give you some money, you know, for whatever you want to do.
I agree with that.
Oh, my goodness. During the rant, let's see. Here's part of her rant. When we invited our friends and family to our destination wedding in Thailand, only 9 people RSVP'd out of 150, 3 exclamation points. Okay, I get it. Paying $3,000 to share my special day is too much for some of you. I'd pay for yours, but whatever. But then, when we changed the wedding to be in Hawaii, so it's within everyone's reach, only 7 of you RSVP'd. I don't know what kind of friends she has. Hawaii still is a long reach for a lot of people. Hawaii is not, it's not like driving to Wisconsin. It's Hawaii. It's very expensive. During the rant, the woman also called her friends cheap and said she would be better off eloping than having any of them attend her wedding.
She'd save a lot of money.
Sure she would. This is it. You have 3 days to respond to our invites or we're deleting you off Facebook, and good luck keeping up with our lives then.
Wow. Is it that serious?
Don't do me any favors.
$3,000. I'm sorry. I have a best friend who I would do anything for, and yeah, she knows it. But for $3,000, I might not be at your wedding.
No. How can... See, this is one of these things where you don't think of other people. And to be honest, a big wedding is for the other people. You know...
Because, the whole purpose is for them to celebrate you.
Right. That's family and friends and all that. Because the bride and groom, it's a blur for them. You know, you don't really... After everybody's gone, and then maybe you go on a honeymoon or you just go away for, you know, you just stay in the hotel for an extra day. That's when it really starts to kick in. You know, it's not then, because you're so busy talking to people and you're doing all this. From the 630, the wedding venue must now be Instagram perfect. What happened to church community rooms and VFWs? I don't know. Those have gone the way of giant venues and, you know, destination weddings. I don't remember. The only destination wedding, and this, again, dates me, and I know that. But it was like, what destination wedding are you having? We're going down to the courthouse. Oh, all right. That's a destination. Everything else, you just come to the house. All right, let's do this. We'll start wrapping things up because Nick D is getting ready to stand by with the mystery program, according to Vic. We have no idea, but it'll be fun. We'll get to that after this. WGN.